You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Keith Ellison takes a big step towards becoming the next DNC chair, despite the smears coming from a billionaire Democratic donor. Also, Ohio looking to pass a fetus heartbeat bill. Just a foreshadowing of what we can expect in terms of women's rights, of sovereignty over their own bodies. And Democrats in a ACA Obamacare offensive. Could this be a Republican Waterloo?
What?
Guy who never worked on the Trump transition team fired yesterday from the Trump transition team.
Huh?
New report shows that states with background checks, extensive background checks, have less school shootings. And Wells Fargo is looking to the courts to kill their fraud suits based upon arbitration clauses. Beyond unbelievable. And union leader at the carrier plant, he lied his ass off. Speaking about Donald Trump. All that and more on today's program. We got a bunch of stuff to go over today, ladies and gentlemen. I want to just start with, oh gosh. Well, you know what? Let's start with what we did yesterday with the Mike Flynn stuff. But first, let me, I just a little bit of house cleaning here. I just want to make it clear, because I received an email about this. CuckNation.org does forward to our gift, our gifting of the Majority Report, but it is not our link. I'm not saying that it's nefarious or any way. I'm not saying, because it's not. It was set up by a fan. But I just want to say that it's not the official URL for our gifting. We will get there with that. We will get that official URL. You can email and I will send you out the link to it, because the link is, and we've posted it, right? You're posting that link again in today's show. What was it?
It's not.
Okay.
Joke.
All right. That's not funny.
look at you all of a sudden with comedy expertise.
Well, I mean, I still subsidizing the show. At one point. But so cucknation.org, not our official link. It will take you, if you want to gift someone the show for a month, a year, or any denomination in between, you can go there and do it. But it is not the official link of the show. Let me just also catch up on this. I didn't yesterday talk about the one way that the Garland nomination can happen. I guess it's the second way, right? Assuming no recess appointment. There is another way that the Democrats could seat Garland. And there also, apparently, according to Lawrence Lessig, is another way at least that the Democrats could try to argue that Hillary Clinton won the election. But first, let me tell you, well, Kelly, have you had your Soothe massage yet?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say that, like, much to the chagrin of, Michael was bummed about it, too. And
totally unfair.
Nikki almost punched me in the face when I told her. Because Nikki wants me to give her a massage. It's like, I think that's not uncommon. I don't like giving massages. I just don't like giving massages. I'm not a big massage guy, but my wife is. And Kelly, what was your experience with Soothe?
It was great. The best ever.
Well, what happened?
They come to your apartment or house if you have one. I scheduled the appointment and online, and then within 5 minutes they confirmed via text and told me the name of the massage therapist, certified massage therapist.
Did you get to choose like what kind you wanted, like shiatsu or
yeah?
I don't know what the other names.
You got that Yahtzee.
Did you get one of those Yahtzee massages?
No, I got a Swedish massage. There's like deep tissue and then something else, like sports massage maybe. I don't know. But yeah, you can choose between that. You can also choose a male or female massage therapist. And then, so I scheduled it and got the confirmation on my phone. And they came later. She came later that day.
Yeah.
And brought her own table and linens and everything like that that they have. And like I said before, it was comparable to, like, I've gotten a few nice, really nice, expensive massages at, like, hotels or spas, and it was like that. It was great.
Wow. So you can book your massage in less than 10 seconds on the mobile app or website at soothe.com. That's SOOTHE.com. This week, my listeners can get $30 towards their first massage with Soothe. Again, that's SOOTHE when entering majority at checkout. Just search Soothe in the App Store or Google Play to download the app, or go to www.soothe.com and schedule your appointment today. That's soothe.com, promo code majority for $30 towards your first massage. Soothe. Massage delivered to you. People should check that out. Also, Nikki did not punch me in the face because I did actually get her a watch from Movement. Holiday shopping can be tough. I can't stand it. That's, I think, probably 95% of the reason why I self-identify as a Jew is just avoid buying Christmas presents for people.
Who needs the hassle?
I prefer to go out in October when Hanukkah usually falls. This year it's in December, but thanks to MVMT, Movement Watches, all that gift-giving anxiety can disappear with a press of a button. These watches make the perfect purchase for just about anyone in your life. Remember, they start at $95. You've heard me talk about MVMT watches. You know, I got Nikki, what it was, the Silver Pearl? Was that what it was?
Yes.
She loves it. She loves the watch. She wears it, I would say, 80% of the time. That's the way she wears it to work. Like it's a very high quality, beautiful looking watch. Movement watches, like I say, start at $95. At a department store, you're normally looking at like $400 to $500. They figured out by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. Classic design, quality construction, styled minimalism. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmtwatches.com/majority. This watch has a clean design. Nikki loves it. She gets compliments about it all the time. And I always tell her, like, we literally have fights about, well, I hope you told them to get it with the coupon code.
She doesn't do that?
Well, she does. Sometimes she does. Sometimes she doesn't.
Come on.
I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're walking around with a beautiful watch, and it's an advertisement. You got to say, get them through MVMTWatches.com/majority.
You call your wife dude.
Yeah, I call my kids dude. I call everybody dude. Go to MVMTWatches.com/majority. Join the movement. All right. So yesterday on the program, right, we had a clip of Mike Pence on Morning Joe saying vehemently, this Mike Flynn, Mike G. Flynn, Mike Flynn's son, it doesn't work for the transition team. And in fact, let's go through this one more time because maybe it was a mistake. Maybe he misspoke on Morning Joe. But then an hour later, he walks a couple of blocks on 6th Avenue and heads over to CNN with Jake Tapper. And here's his second opportunity, at least that we know of, on TV yesterday to deny that Michael Flynn, the National Security Advisor's son, who is reported to be the chief of the staff for Michael Flynn. We got Michael Flynn Jr., Michael Flynn Sr. They're both lunatics, as far as I can tell. Michael Flynn Sr. has been tweeting out over the course of the campaign all sorts of conspiracy theories, and his son seems to be like the conspiracy, chief of staff, if you will. But here's Jake Tapper asking Mike Pence. Let's see if there's any wiggle room here in his responses.
National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, has been pushing a bunch of conspiracy theories, including one that ended up impacting where you're staying right now, your local pizza place, Comet Pizza. An insane lie spread online. It led a North Carolina man to barge into the restaurant with two weapons. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Now, Flynn Jr. Was on the transition team, but a source familiar with the situation tells me that he was asked to leave. And that the direct order came from President-elect Trump. Tell me what happened.
Well, what I can say is that we are so grateful and honored to have General Flynn as our nominee for National Security Advisor. He brings an extraordinary wealth of experience. He's also a dedicated family man. I said this morning that his son had no involvement in the transition, but I've talked to General Flynn, and his son was helping him a bit with scheduling and administrative items, but that's no longer the case. Look, all of our families want to be helpful.
Now, the important thing is, all our families want to be helpful, and he was just sort of casually coming around. The important thing here is to watch Mike Pence's eyebrows. Yeah. He's got basically two eyebrow positions, maybe three. One is the serious furrowed brow. And that's the serious one. Like, I'm getting down to business here. I'm actually telling the truth. And then we'll see later, he has his sort of the uplifted one where it's sort of like, oh, this is sad. This is sad that you're telling me the truth.
Dad, there's a new tweet out about human sacrifice in the Clintons. I'll forward it to you.
All right, so here it is. So Pence has now backed off where he was on Morning Joe in the morning. By saying, well, yeah, he's not on the transition team, but he helped his dad with his emails, essentially. He basically helped his dad with his Twitter feed. Here we go.
And 4 weeks to the day from Election Day, there's been an awful lot of work to do. But Mike Flynn Jr. is no longer associated with General Flynn's efforts or with the transition team, and we're focused eyes forward.
You're downplaying his role, but you must be aware that the transition team put in for security clearance for Michael G. Flynn, the son of Lieutenant General Flynn.
Well, I'm aware in talking to General Flynn that his son was helping with scheduling, Jake.
But you put in for security clearance for him.
He was helping his dad arrange for meetings and provide meetings. Pause
it.
That's no longer.
Okay, so no, I'm ignoring your question, Jake. I'm in charge of the transition team. And so if he had gotten security clearances, I would surely know about it. But I'm going to pretend you're not asking me that question, Jake, and just talk about how he's a family man. That's how actually Michael Flynn became his son, because he has a family and impregnated a fine, fine woman. And then Michael Flynn grew and was born. So here it is.
But you must be aware that the transition team put in for security clearance for Michael G. Flynn, the son of Lieutenant General Flynn.
Well, I'm aware in talking to General Flynn that his son was helping with scheduling, Jake.
No, but you put in for security clearance for him.
He was helping his dad arrange for meetings and provide meetings, but that's no longer the case.
But do you need security clearance to do scheduling?
I think that's the appropriate decision for us to move forward, avoid any further distraction. And I'm very confident as we continue to build this team. Tonight you'll see the president-elect formally announce General Mattis as the new Secretary of the Department of Defense, that the American people are going to be impressed with the way that the president-elect is bringing together men and women that are make America safe again.
I want to move on to other issues, but I'm afraid I just didn't get an answer, which is, were you aware that the transition had put in for a security clearance for Michael Flynn Jr.?
You know, I've worked very closely with General Flynn. We've met on many occasions. I've never seen his son present for any of those meetings.
But you're head of the transition team, so you know who you put in for security clearances for.
Well, General Flynn did inform me that his son was helping on administrative matters. But Jake, this is all the kind of distraction that frankly, I know, with all due respect, the national media likes to go chasing after. I think what the American people are impressed by, and it's a reason why, frankly, you see public opinion on the rise about the president-elect in the last 4 weeks, is because they're seeing the kind of decisive leadership that Donald Trump is bringing to this transition. It's the kind of energetic leadership that's going to focus on the priorities of the American people, building a team, building a legislative agenda, driving our nation forward to a stronger, more prosperous America.
The last question on this, sir, and I'm sorry, just you're not answering the question, which is, were you aware that the transition team had put in for a security clearance? I mean, this is a young man who had a social media profile that had all sorts of crazy conspiracy theories, that had all sorts of links and retweets with white supremacists. Were you aware that the transition put in for a security clearance for him?
Well, what I can tell you is that in talking with General Flynn today, he made me aware that his son was assisting him in scheduling
and that you put in for a security
meetings
clearance.
And well, whatever the appropriate paperwork was to assist him in that regard, Jake, I'm sure it was
whatever,
still in place.
Whatever the paper, whatever the appropriate paperwork.
And your viewers and the American people can be confident that we're going to continue to drive forward. Look, this is a very challenging time.
All right, pause it. Oh, good. I need to hear more of this. Whatever the paper, the security clearance, that's just paperwork. That's just that we give that to everybody. With security clearance, I mean, definitionally speaking, the idea of security clearance is that it's not just paperwork, right? Paperwork is just paperwork. Like, you want a pass to the commissary to get lunch? That's paperwork.
Commissary.
There's a White House commissary. There's a White House commissary.
Oh, God.
You want to go to the commissary? That's just paperwork. Oh, security clearance. You mean so that you can actually get clearance for secrets and secure things? That's just paperwork, too.
Hey, Dad, two things on the agenda today. Number one, I found out that Hezbollah is creating terrorists through giving women birth control. Going to send you a link to that. Major security
challenge. I've
got challenge.
Security clearance, man.
And number two, man, I want to finish the security clearance process. All right, Dad? Then I'm going to send you this ebook called The Gorilla Mindset.
How much patent... Like Mike Pence is just sent out there to patently lie, to just lie. And frankly, he's good at it. Yeah. This guy's an animatron who just will tell lie after lie. Like it took like 4 minutes to get even a smile where he's just like, Jake,
you know I'm going to keep
lying.
I'm
lying to your face. And I'm not going to stop. I mean, I appreciate that you've asked all these questions, but I'm just going to keep lying and occasionally shift my eyebrows a little bit. That may look a little bit sadder. What I want to do is I want to release this same video that we just did. Everything the same, except for I just want to focus in on his eyebrows right here and just to see what that will look like. So we should put a link to this video, and we'll do it where it's the exact same video, but just the eyebrows.
So I'm wondering, do you blacklist Mike Pence from appearing on CNN?
I would, but he's the vice president, so he has
exactly
some. Well,
this is what I was saying before.
No, Kelly, I think there's a fundamental difference between a political commentator and the vice president.
Of course there is.
Thank you. You know what else? No matter who you're shopping for, Sherry's Berries is the one-stop shop for everyone on your list. You don't have to battle the crowds to get the perfect gift. You shop with convenience right from your home. Christmas, Hanukkah, only a week or two away. Well, I guess it's really more like 3 weeks away. So you've only got about 20 days left to shop. Deliver your gift. Look, choose a gift from Sherry Berry's incredible collection of gifts and go ahead and skip the crowds and the hassle altogether. Last night, we split. Well, I guess I had two. But everybody in my family had one. Everybody in the office has one, although Kelly's is waiting in the fridge.
I want more.
We had the strawberries dipped in multiple different types of chocolate. White chocolate, some type of like crunchy chocolate. They have decorative swizzles, chopped nuts. They were delicious. They really were. And Sherry's Berries has more than just berries. They've added amazing new seasonal treats just in time for the holidays. You get to choose the delivery day, and Sherry's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed. Christmas, Hanukkah, right around the corner. Only one way to get this amazing $19.99 Sherry's Berries deal and help support our show. Just visit berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in my code Majority Report. Sherry Berries has something for everyone and every taste. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, type in Majority Report, order them today.
Cuck.
Vice president is a definitely different from a political commentator. I would even allow Mike Pence to come on this program, even though he's a categorical liar.
Hi, Sam. I really respect your show.
That would be... And then the beauty of that is you can ask him all sorts of questions. Have you ever, ever had an experience sexually with anybody aside from your wife? That would be the first question I would get. And then I would just follow down.
Are you familiar with foam parties?
Wait, why that question?
I just want to see where it leads with a guy like him.
I think it can lead to a lot of interesting places.
I want to see what happens to his eyebrows. The guy's a pathological liar, so there's nowhere you're not going to get anything out of this guy. All right, let's get into this. The big fight that we're going to see. We're going to see some confirmation hearing fights, but my sense is, and what I'm hearing is that Chuck Schumer doesn't have the stomach to do to really gum up the works with all of these. And
come on,
so
Luke,
I don't think
Schumer.
We're going to see a fight with. I just don't understand how you don't have a fight with Jeff Sessions, but I have a feeling it's like one of those like
Senate courtesy
bull crap.
Yeah, it's Senate
but,
courtesy garbage.
You know, if the guy had a drinking problem like John Tower, then maybe you'd be able to stop him. But because his problem has only been to try and disenfranchise black people. And
I don't drink. I just don't want the Negro to assert a place in life that he should not assert.
My racism is completely sober. I can assure you of that.
By the way, I did
now,
need
I
to
I will
have
say a... this. When I've had a few, man, I'll take the shotgun out. Maybe. Just take some random shots out of the house.
Maybe be but, a bit. Y'all ever seen the scene in Schindler's List where he does that? Need I say more?
In the main, I will tell you that my racism is completely sober.
Do I need to drink an old-fashioned to realize that I don't want a spazoid in class with my child? You know about that comment, right?
What was that?
Basically, that kids with special needs are like shouldn't necessarily be accommodated because they're like disruptive to classrooms.
Jesus.
It's really bad.
All right, let's... but let me start for a moment on the Garland thing. This is... this is via Cagro X.
Great guy.
Do you know him personally?
No.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. He is Paul Waldman? Waldman. He is a he's very well familiar with Senate rules. And apparently, what can happen in terms of garlic? We've talked about the idea that maybe there is a potential, what do you call it, pick? A potential
recess
pick. But highly unlikely. And because Obama would never do this. Now, problem we have here is that the Democrats in the Senate would never do this either. But there is an opportunity if they wanted to. And I think Crooks and Liars has written this up. And you can check it out there. But what could happen is on the day the new Senate is sworn in, there are only 64 sitting senators. 36, there's 63 sitting senators plus Joe Biden, who is the vice president, until the 19th or 20th. So the 63 sitting senators, 64 if you want to include Joe Biden, 34 of those are Democrats, 30 of them are Republicans because we had more Republicans running for re-election this, and their terms are up. And what happens is Joe Biden gets the gavel in the Senate. He, instead of calling on Mitch McConnell as the leader of the Senate, he calls on Dick Durbin. And Dick Durbin places a motion to vote on Merrick Garland, to confirm Merrick Garland. Now, theoretically, right, all 30 Republicans would be like, we're going to vote no or we're going to walk out. Doesn't matter. All you need is for a quorum is the majority of, well, they've already have the quorum there with 64, is 2/3 of the Senate, and you've had it. They can walk out. It'll be 34-0. As quorum has already been achieved, they can stay in. It'll be 34-0. Boom. Merrick Garland is the Supreme Court justice. And this is not reversible. This is not a parliamentary, or I should say, this is not a recess appointment. Recess appointment is reversible a year later. Now, then I guess theoretically the question would go to the Supreme Court. Is this legit? But the Senate rules are the Senate rules. And there's really nothing that they could do about this. Why won't the Democrats do this? I don't know. I really don't know. It's perfectly legal. It's within the rules of the Senate. Is it any more dirty or underhanded than not holding any confirmation hearings on the president's Supreme Court pick because you don't think that he should have the right to have a Supreme Court pick? No. Will this happen? I don't think so. I don't know of any sort of organized movement to push for this. Now, of course, you'd have to get all the Democrats on board. Would Joe Manchin? Maybe you need just 31. Would Joe Manchin? He wouldn't do it.
Certainly.
Would
not.
John Tester? Unlikely.
Heitkamp wouldn't. Thanks, Matt.
But
me,
there's 31.
Do you think Tester 100% wouldn't do it? Like, is there any hope for Tester is what I'm trying to say?
I don't know, but those are three, and that's 31. You would still have the majority. So will that happen? Unlikely. But I just wanted to put it out there.
It's a brilliant maneuver, and I could not think of a more deserving, like, how perfect would it be after this slow motion coup that they pulled over the last year on this to completely screw them over using something arcane and petty like that? It would be some great poetic justice. And like, totally appropriate. It was ridiculous that they did this.
I think we're at the stage now where no one can make an argument, it seems to me, that you don't want to attack the norms. I think we're just beyond that point.
No, if we keep playing by the norms, they'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I mean, it's already to the point of it's incredibly dangerous how much we've allowed them to reset the terms. And I would also add, in a similar vein as that, don't make it a left-wing justice. It doesn't have to be Merrick Garland that you do this maneuver with. Pick a progressive.
Right.
Pick a real liberal justice and say, screw you.
Exactly. Go down to the new school.
This is a post-structuralist, transgendered Muslim with a Jewish as well as Haitian background who does post-structuralist legal studies. So welcome your new chief.
I haven't seen any other talk of it, but for something that Cagro X tweeted out, and they wrote up on Crooks and Liars. And that's it. That's about it. But I wanted to get that out there. As far as I can tell, maybe we should just try and follow up with... But I don't see... there's nothing I've read about it that would make it sound like it's in any way illegal or reversible in any fashion. There is also, I should tell you, because people wanted, you know, look, I think having a little bit of false hope right now, not necessarily a bad thing, because it's going to get resolved in 4 or 5 weeks anyways. So might as well just throw this out there. If there are moments where you need a little something. So Lawrence Lessig has been, talking. He published a piece in Medium. He said he and a number of the legal experts believes that the winner-takes-all system of electoral votes could be unconstitutional based upon the Bush v. Gore ruling. It is a violation of equal protections, and here's why. Take, for instance, the state of Georgia. Hillary Clinton got 44% of the vote in Georgia. It is not a violation of equal protection for Clinton. It is an equal protection for the voters. You'll remember in Bush v. Gore, which, of course, the Supreme Court said shouldn't be a precedent for anything. But that's not, you don't necessarily get to say that. That's just something that is admitted or argued, in front of the court. Bush v. Gore found that the question of equal protections, if some votes were recounted and others weren't, people's votes were devalued. Well, if you do winner take all in the Electoral College, the 44% of people who voted for Hillary Clinton in Georgia, their vote doesn't have the same value as the 56% in terms of how it influences the outcome of the actual vote that implicates and creates the president. So you have a couple of states like Maine and Nebraska, which have the electoral votes spread out, or I should say proportioned. But the system for allocating electoral votes is not mandated by the Constitution. It's employed at the discretion of the state. They can change it. And there have been vast changes that have occurred in states' populations since the Electoral College system was adopted, which exacerbates the problem by making the number of representatives allotted to each state disproportionate. The major contributing factors to this outcome, the winner-takes-all system of allocating electors, coupled with the growing concentration of U.S. population in a handful of states, these factors create a substantial risk that a candidate that loses the popular vote would win the Electoral College outright. in Georgia, we have 16 electors, approximately 44% of all voters cast ballots for Clinton. Yet the Clinton voters received no representation within the state's electors. They are left with no voice whatsoever in the election of the president by the Electoral College. Their votes are, for all practical purposes, thrown away. If Georgia were electing a single candidate, then a winner-take-all result would be proper. But in an election of 16 electors, the Clinton votes are not being given equal dignity with Trump voters. And so far as what he's saying is that Georgia should be dividing up their electoral votes. 10, I'm doing rough estimates here. 10 for Trump, 6 for Clinton. That's the argument. And Lessig is pretty pissed because apparently there's nobody in the Democratic Party or the Clinton campaign who is willing to pursue this at all.
Which is crazy. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you remember what it was like for you? Because I know that, you know, obviously you do have a pretty extensive legal background in some ways. When you read Bush v. Gore, and I know you would be disgusted and appalled, and it was horrifying, but specifically that line.
It was a joke.
Where they use the 14th Amendment, which they're always trying to undermine, to hand the election to Bush, and then they said, don't you ever use this line of reasoning again. What was your actual, like, physical reaction to reading that?
Well, the whole thing was a joke. I don't remember specifically.
Did you go to protests or anything?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was... I took like 400 pictures of my television at that time. We didn't have, you had VCRs, but you didn't have DVRs. And I don't think we had digital cameras, or if we did, they were very sort of. So I took like, I kept taking photos of my TV. The big shocker was not even the ruling. The big shocker was that they took the case. That was the big shocker. Every legal expert that you would interview or see interviewed at that time was saying, no way they take this case. There's just, they don't get involved in this. This is states. States are in charge of their own voting.
And there was no time pressure on it. It wasn't like,
well,
right?
No,
there was no
that
reason.
That was the argument.
There was time
that,
pressure.
No,
that was a Bush's argument. Sorry.
The Bush's argument was that if you don't step in right now, it could prejudice the notion so that people think I'm not the president. That literally was the argument.
Right.
We can't have it floating around out there that he's not the president for too long.
I remember I saw an interview with President Clinton. I think he was like traveling in Vietnam or something at the time. And I was, you know, it was like, well, I wasn't in high school because I was homeschooled. But I remember Clinton was there and he had this big grin on his face. He's just like, I'm still president. I can take care of this. He was like, you could see the machinations of like, maybe this will last another couple of months. I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
But would you also mind, do you have another second to re-explain to everybody what the Brooks Brothers riot was?
So in Florida, West Palm Beach, they started to do the recount of the votes. And they got, the Republicans, got every Republican operative, including John Roberts, now Supreme Court, to go down to Florida. They were all in suits and they were rioting, trying to intimidate and stop the vote, like banging on the door and stopping them from recounting, like physically stopping them from recounting.
And you're talking about the people recounting are just like local, normal, like civic minded people getting terrorized by these scumbags
they
who have flown in.
They did not want there to be a recount because they knew that if the intent of these ballots was divine, they would have a real problem. Not to mention the extraordinary amount of voter suppression that went on there. That's all sort of like, you know, at that point, water under the bridge.
So basically, I don't feel bad for what Trump did to Jeb anymore.
No. No.
Main takeaway, Jeb deserved his utter humiliation.
I want to get to the ACA stuff, but first let me just briefly talk about Keith Ellison has announced that he is willing to step down from his position as congressman to chair the DNC in the event that he's elected. This is really big because there's basically been two arguments against Keith Ellison that have been vocalized. One is it should be a full-time position. Keith is great. We love his progressive values, et cetera, but it should be a full-time position. So other people have jumped into the race. And the other argument is that he thinks that Palestinians are human beings, and that's inappropriate. The way that argument has been articulated is essentially that he trashes Israel. He hung around with Louis Farrakhan 30 years ago. Did they get to Bill Ayers yet or no?
I don't think so. That's coming.
So Steve Emerson, you remember that guy? He's the guy who claimed that there was a city in England which was no-go for white people and non-Muslims. It was a no-go city. And a British MP had to say, like, this guy is an effing idiot.
Oh, no, not just a MP. The former Prime Minister of Britain, David Cameron, gave
him a doo-doo-doo on television.
Yeah.
So this guy is now the voice of reason for I don't know whom in the Democratic Party, because he cut a literally 39-second clip of a 36-second clip of a speech that Ellison gave, what was this, 20 years ago, was it? Or I don't know when, maybe more recently, of a 25-minute speech he gave to a Muslim group. More or less, the entire speech was saying that he more or less had the same foreign policy perspective on Israel as 70% of Democrats. And he was basically saying, like, we need as Muslims to learn from the Jewish community on how they were able to build their political power. We're going to need this. And so you have multiple Jewish organizations, prominent Jewish writers who are coming out, ranging from J.J. Goldberg to Michelle Goldberg. To
all the other Goldbergs.
All the Goldbergs are coming out.
The Goldbergs support Ellison very much.
J Street also defending Ellison. And, you know, I would say, frankly, the position that the Democratic Party should have on Israel and Palestine is probably more, I don't know what I would put, progressive, more humane than even Keith Ellison has articulated.
Indeed.
I imagine, I hope, it's just a question of, like, and I think for a lot of the Democrats, it's they're constrained by what they perceive as the politics. But when you have a billionaire named Haim Saban, is that his name?
Yeah.
Who, a big Clinton supporter, coming out and saying that Keith Ellison is anti-Semitic, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the only reason why anybody cares about what Haim Saban says is because he has bought his influence because he's a billionaire. That's it. Period. End of story. Just because you have $1 billion does not mean that you get to choose who's an anti-Semite and who's not. That's just not the way it works. I suppose Sheldon Adelson too, but I mean, do people have to pretend to listen to Sheldon Adelson? He's not even a Democratic billionaire.
No, I'm saying just in terms of substance. I mean, the type of policy that Haim Saban advocates for and attitude is indistinguishable from Sheldon Adelson.
It's unbelievable that this guy has maybe he doesn't have a forum necessarily in the Democratic Party, but he certainly has a lot of people who listen to him. That type of smearing is going to take more than $1 billion, I think.
And maybe, I just, I do, it is notable.
Maybe we should have a Haim Saban
membership level
here, where if you're a virulent white nationalist,
yes,
but with $1 billion, you can support the program.
And then we will accuse people of all sorts of nonsense for you.
Well, we might do that, but I'm just saying that, like, it just goes to show that we should be open in the same way the Democratic Party is.
Yes.
To views that are antithetical and to things that are disgusting. Because I think it's frankly disgusting.
It's totally disgusting. And the funny thing is...
But if you're a billionaire and you're our billionaire, we may give you a pass.
Oh, indeed. And actually, that was in some ways some of the
But
most...
I don't mean like you're a billionaire that supports Democrats. I'm like...
No. The Majority Report.
Yeah. Like all this.
Yeah.
Gold LeMay. Real gold. Or gold. I want like...
We want this place to look tremendous.
Yeah, this stuff behind me with like the everything in black.
Yes, exactly.
I want that to be gold, and then we'll spray paint it black.
Yes, and Matt would like a tanning bed in here as well.
That's right.
But in some ways those were some of the most disturbing things in the WikiLeaks emails to me. Actually, were people in the Clinton orbit saying things like, you know, essentially, oh yeah, what's happening in Israel is absolutely horrible. Anyways, the prime minister will be, like Netanyahu will be right here pretty soon, and everybody knows that we have to kiss Saudi
American
and Israeli ass.
Right? That's it's the broader American politics.
That's right, the whole thing. Absolutely. I even think there are actually even Republicans you talk to off of the record who would say that this is an untenable human rights violating situation. Even they would say that.
So the long and short of it is, they're really, it's going to be interesting to see those people who had made the argument, I love Keith, but we really need a full-time, we need someone really full-time. It's going to be interesting where they go next. Do we really want someone with glasses?
Yeah.
Do we really want someone with glasses? Mm. Like, what if there's an earthquake in Washington and his glasses fall off and they break? Who's going to be in charge of the DNC? That we're going to have somebody who can't see.
Where my glasses, like, fell off. All right. When my glasses fall off, I don't like Minister Farrakhan anymore.
I'm going to have to do this, the Affordable Care Act stuff. Jeff Merkley was on Chris Cuomo on CNN. And do we have time to do that right now? Should we do this last one here?
Yeah, do it real quick.
Well, I get two of these, so we'll do...
Just do it. Knock them.
So, the Republican Party, as I've been saying for weeks now, is now quite clear that their intention is to repeal the Affordable Care Act within the first couple of weeks of Trump's inauguration, maybe late in January, early in February. Although it is pretty funny, they're sort of screwed here unless the Democrats help them. And the Democrats can help them in two ways. One, they can help them by fashioning a replacement bill, which would basically more or less look like Obamacare, but be called something else, which would be ridiculous for the Democrats to do, because it something worse than Obamacare, slightly worse than, is pretty bad. And yes, and then they own that disaster, which will be that replacement, because it's going to be a disaster. The other thing the Democrats can do to help out the Republicans is to not make it clear that even if the Republicans are successful, because internally they're having some big fights about this, in punting for 2 years or 3 years, Democrats have to make it clear that the moment you repeal it, you need to replace it, because if you don't, the whole thing falls apart, because insurance companies are not going to want to stay in the Obamacare exchanges or, frankly, in the individual market, sell a product to individuals because it will be untenable for them. Democrats have to hit this. And here's Jeff Merkley, who I really like and appreciate, but here he misses the mark. Watch this.
What is the reality of what happens once it is repealed, which is just a signature away? What about the replacement part?
Well, the Republicans are terrified of actually repealing because so many elements are quite popular. The idea that you can get insurance even if you have pre-existing conditions, the fact that children can stay on your policy to age 26, the investment in prevention because prevention is so much smarter than treating diseases down the road, all these elements really resonate. So now what the Republicans are talking about is saying, well, we're going to repeal it, but we're only going to make that come into effect 3 years from now because we know there'll be a big backlash from Americans if we take away these very popular elements of making health care work for all Americans.
Okay. Here's why that's the wrong approach by Merkley. He's smart to point out those things that people like about Obamacare. But what he should be saying is, look, if the Republicans want to repeal Obamacare and leave those provisions, that's all well and good, but you're going to destroy health insurance for millions of Americans because the insurance companies are not going to continue to offer it. So when this falls apart, this is on the Republicans. The moment they repeal it, people are going to lose their health insurance. They may not lose it the next day, but they're going to lose it within a couple of months. That's sealed. That's on the Republicans. Because let me show you what the Republicans are going to try and do. They're going to repeal it, and then they're going to say the reason why bad things are happening is because either Obamacare was on its last legs or because the Democrats wouldn't help us do what we all agreed need to have happen. And here is that pathological fake vice president. Is it fake news or fake vice president? The pathological liar, Mike Pence, to make that case right now.
Vice President-elect Mike Pence was speaking to the ease of repeal and the difficulty of replace in actual practice recently. Here's the sound.
We're going to keep our promise to the American people, and we're going to repeal Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel. But what we're also going to do is work with members of the House and Senate to ensure an orderly transition. And the length of time that that will take will be a subject of legislative debate, and we'll fill in the substance of that.
Well, that's
okay. So that orderly transition, when people start realizing that insurance companies are exiting not just the exchanges, but the entire individual health insurance markets, that orderly transition is going to fall apart. And the Republicans, their one opportunity is to blame the Democrats. And Democrats right now have to basically wall that off. Chuck Schumer has come out and said, we're not getting involved in the replacement part. Smart, smart thing to announce. They have to hold to that. The fighting that's going on in the Republican Party about what the timeline for the repeal. Now, remember, still have a lot of people who want to sort of claim the mantle of being the leaders of the Freedom Caucus. And the Freedom Caucus in the Senate, whatever they call themselves. They're going to push for this to be repealed quicker. There is no replacing this. There is no replacing this in a way that, that turns out where you have people who are insured and that it's cheaper. It's just, it's not possible. And the Republicans know this. And so the one thing that they're trying to figure out is how do we do this without getting blamed for it? And the only ways that they can do this without getting blamed for it is to simply argue that Obamacare is falling apart on its own accord. So in some respects, it's arguable because they haven't fixed the things that the easy fixes that need to be fixed. But insurance companies are just, they're going to have to figure out a way to pay for things like no rescission, no lifetime caps. No pre-existing conditions denials.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But just, you know, for those of us who were involved in watching carefully the fight to save Social Security in 2005 when George Bush announced he was going to try and privatize Social Security. Before Katrina, before people soured on the war, he lost that Social Security fight. And that basically showed the weakness there. There's going to be a lot of horrible things that are going to happen with the Republicans. There's just no avoiding it. They control everything. But a big problem out the gate, frankly. They're going to repeal it. It's not going to be, you know, huge fanfare. But then over the coming months, they need to be hammered on this. And people need to spread the word as to once they set that repeal, it's like basically pushing a rock down a hill that halfway down the hill is a huge cliff. And at one point, it's just going to get, it's going to be a disaster. And this could be the thing that makes it slightly possible the Democrats could take the Senate in 2018. And by slightly possible, I mean like single digits is possible.
It's a hard map.
Highly, highly unlikely. But if the insurance falls apart in the second year of this, they're going to have some... Lucy going to be in trouble. All right.
Oh, my Lord, that's my joke. I said that to the Puerto Rican lady that was going to be the Supreme Court Justice. We're all going to die.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Corey Lewandowski announces the beginning of the war on Christmas.
He doesn't even have like the charm of the masshole thing. He's just such a scumbag.
Such a scumbag. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. A reminder, it is your membership that makes this show possible. Become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Go to justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon or you buy it from jet.com, stop off at majoritycreditkickback.com, majoritycreditkickback.com. Click on the link, either the Jet link or the Amazon link. Bookmark it. Always buy your crap from there. We get a kickback. You'll notice no difference whatsoever. Majoritycreditkickback.com. And we will have a better gifting solution for you than cucknation.org. But that's... Somebody beat us to the punch. We're trying to secure non-cuck nation. What is it?
Non-cuck nation.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.